Chapter 1. Friday, 28th October, 2016. Detective Chief Inspector Erica Foster crossed her arms over the bulky life jacket against the icy wind, wishing she'd worn a thicker coat. The small inflatable Met Police marine recovery boat churned across the water of Hayes Quarry, dragging behind it a compact transponder, scanning the bottom deep below. The disused quarry was in the centre of Hayes Common, 225 acres of woodland and heath situated next to the village of Hayes, on the outskirts of South London. "Water depth is 23.7 metres, said Sergeant Lorna Crozier, the dive supervisor. She was hunched over a screen at the front of the boat, where the results of the sonar were beamed back and displayed in inky purple shades, blooming across the screen like a bruise. "So it's going to be tough to salvage what we're looking for?" asked Erica, noting her tone. Lorna nodded. "Anything beyond a depth of 30 metres is tough. My divers can only stay down for short periods. The average pond or canal is a couple of metres deep. Even at high tide, the Thames is 10 to 12 metres. "There could be anything down there," said Detective Sergeant John McGorry, who was squashed in the small plastic seat beside Erica. She followed his youthful gaze across the rippling surface of the water. The visibility couldn't have been more than a couple of feet before it became a swirl of dark shadows. "Are you trying to sit on my lap?" she snapped, as he leaned across her to peer over the edge. "Sorry, boss," he grinned, shifting back along the seat. "I saw this show on the Discovery Channel. Did you know only 5% of the ocean floor is mapped? The ocean occupies 70% of the Earth's surface. That leaves 65% of the Earth, excluding dry land, unexplored." At the water's edge, 20 metres away, clumps of dead reeds swayed in the breeze. A large support lorry was parked on the grassy bank, and beside it the small support team were preparing the diving gear. Their orange life jackets were the only dots of colour on the dingy autumn afternoon. Behind them, gorse and heather stretched away with a mix of greys and browns, and a clump of trees in the far distance were bare. The boat reached the end of the quarry and slowed. "Turning about," said PC Barker, a young male officer sitting at the rudder of the outboard motor. He performed a sharp turn so that they could double back and cross the length of the water for the sixth time. "Do you think some of the fish or eels down there could have grown to, like, super proportions?" asked John, turning to Lorna, his eyes still shining with enthusiasm. "I've seen some pretty big freshwater crayfish when I've been on dives, although this quarry isn't a tributary, so whatever is down there would have been introduced," replied Lorna, one eye on the sonar screen. "I grew up down the road in St. Mary Cray, and there was a pet shop near us that apparently sold baby crocodiles." John's voice tailed off, and he looked back at Erica, raising an eyebrow. He was always upbeat and chatty, which she could just about cope with, although she dreaded working the early shift with him. "We're not looking for a crocodile, John. We're looking for 10 kilos of heroin packed into a waterproof container." John looked back at her and nodded. "Sorry, boss." Erica checked her watch. It was coming up to 3:30. "What's that worth on the street, 10 kilos? Asked PC Barker from his spot by the rudder. £4 million, replied Erica, her eyes back on the sonar image shifting across the screen. He whistled. "I take it the container was dropped in deliberately." Erica nodded. "Jason Tyler, the guy we've got in custody, was waiting for things to quieten down before he came back for it." She didn't add that they could only hold him in custody until midnight. "Did he really think he'd get it back? We're an experienced dive team, and we're going to find this a tough one to salvage," said Lorna. "With £4 million on the line, yes, I think he was going to come back for it," replied Erica. "We're hoping to lift his prints off the layers of plastic wrapping inside." "How did you find out he dropped it in here?" asked PC Barker. "His wife," replied John. PC Barker gave him a look only another guy could understand and whistled. "Hang on, this could be something. Kill the motor," said Lorna, leaning closer into the tiny screen. A small shape glowed black amongst a swirl of purple hues. PC Barker switched off the outboard motor and the silence rang out, replaced by a swish of water as the boat slowed. He got up and joined her. "We're scanning an area of 4 metres each side of the boat," said Lorna, her small hand moving over the smudge on the screen. So the scale is correct, agreed Barker. You think that's it? Asked Erica, hope rising in her chest. Could be, said Lorna, could be an old fridge. We won't know for sure till we're down there. Will you dive down there today? Erica asked her, trying to stay positive. I'll stay on dry land today. I was on a dive yesterday, and we have to have rest periods, said Lorna. Where were you yesterday? Asked John. Rotherhithe. We had to recover a suicide from the lake at the nature reserve. Wow, it must add a whole new level of freakiness finding a body deep underwater. Lorna nodded. I found him, 10 feet down. I was searching in zero visibility, and suddenly my hands close around a pair of ankles, and I feel up, and there's the legs. He was standing on the bottom. Jeepers, standing up underwater? Said John. It does happen. Something to do with the composition of the gas in the body and the progress of decay. It must be fascinating. I've only been in the force for a few years. This is my first time with a dive team, said John. We find tons of horrible stuff. The worst is when you find a bag of puppies, added PC Barker. Bastards, I've been a copper for 25 years and I still learn something new every day about how sick people can be. Erica noticed how they all turned to her for a moment. She could see them mentally working out how old she was. So what about this anomaly? How quick can you get down there and bring it up? She asked, drawing their attention back to the sonar on the screen. I think we'll mark it up with a buoy and take another pass on it, replied Lorna, moving to the side of the boat and preparing a small orange marker buoy with a weighted line. She dropped the weight over the edge and it quickly vanished into the deep, dark water, the thin rope playing out over the edge. They left the marker floating as PC Barker fired up the outboard motor and they moved off across the water. Just over an hour later, they had covered the surface of the quarry and identified three possible anomalies. Erica and John had come ashore to warm up. The late October day was now fading as they huddled outside the dive lorry with styrofoam cups of tea. They watched the dive team at work. Lorna stood on the bank holding one end of a weighted rope called the Jackstay line. It led down into the water and along the bottom of the quarry, where it resurfaced 20 feet from the shore. The boat was anchored beside the first marker buoy and manned by PC Barker, who was keeping the other end of the Jackstay taut. 10 minutes had passed since two divers had entered the water. They'd started at opposite ends of the Jackstay and were searching along the bottom of the quarry to meet in the middle. Beside Lorna, another member of the dive team was crouched over a small comms unit the size of a briefcase. Erica could hear the divers' voices as they communicated through the radios in their diving masks. Zero visibility, nothing yet. We must be close to meeting in the middle, came the tinny voice over the radio. Erica took a nervous inhale on her e-cigarette, the LED light at the end glowing red. She exhaled a puff of white vapour. It was 3 months since she'd been transferred to Bromley Police Station, and she was still trying to find her place and fit in with her new team. Only a few miles from her old borough of Lewisham in South London, but she was becoming used to the vast difference a few miles can make between the outskirts of London and the edge of the county of Kent. It had a towny feel to it. She looked over at John, who was 20 yards away talking on his phone. He was grinning as he chatted. Whenever he had the chance, he called his girlfriend. A moment later, he finished the call and came over. The diver's still looking? He asked. Erica nodded. No news is good news, but if I have to release that little bastard... The little bastard in question was Jason Tyler, a low-level drug dealer who had risen rapidly to control a drug-dealing network covering South London and the Kent borders. Keep the line taut, I'm getting slack, said the diver's voice through the radio. Boss? Asked John awkwardly. Yeah? That was my girlfriend Monica on the phone. We wanted to invite you over for dinner. Erica glanced at him, with one eye still on Lorna as she looped in a little slack from the Jackstay, bracing her feet on the bank. What? She replied. I've told Monica lots about you. Good stuff, of course. Since I've been working with you, I've learned loads. You've made the job so much more interesting. Made me want to be a better detective. Anyway, she'd love to make you her lasagna. It's really good, and I'm not just saying that because she's my girlfriend. It really is. His voice tailed off. Erica was staring at the 20-foot gap between Lorna on the shore and the boat out on the water. The light was fading rapidly. She thought the divers must be about to meet in the middle, and if they met, that would mean they had nothing. "So what do you say, boss?" "John, we're right in the middle of a big case," she snapped. "I didn't mean tonight, some other day. Monica would love to meet you, and if there were anyone else you'd like to invite, that's cool. Is there a Mr. Foster?" Erica turned to him. She'd spent the last couple of years hearing herself gossiped about in the Force, so she was surprised that John didn't know. She went to answer, but was cut off by a shout that went up from the support team at the water's edge. They hurried over to Lorna and the dive officer, who was crouched down at the small comms unit. They heard one of the divers say, "There's something packed in under the mud. I need help if I'm going to pull it out. How am I doing for time?" The tinny voice cut through the cold air, and there was interference, which Erica realised were bubbles from the diver's respirator, as the officer replied to the diver 30 feet down in the quarry. Lorna turned to Erica. "I think we found it. This could be it."